I want to also just tell you right off the bat, our listeners appreciate you. You are our number one podcast series this last spring. And so thank you very much for giving of your time, because as you mentioned, you're very busy and we completely understand that. But thank you so much for making some time for the Mighty 790.
Thanks for saying that. And I'm glad to be with you.
Dr. Carson is an NDSU professor and also works with Sanford and the North Dakota Department of Health. And we wanted to, you are getting busy again, which is why we wanted to call you again. It seems that we're having another spike in COVID-19 cases. When I look at numbers each day that they come in, and I know that the day-by-day numbers don't necessarily mean a lot, but if we look at it at a broader scale, the one thing that I try to pay attention to is this trending curve of active cases. And we are now in North Dakota at the most active cases we've ever had since the beginning of this pandemic.
Right. No, I think you're right to be concerned. I think it's good that you're kind of keeping your eye on that sort of thing, especially being in the media. And to kind of get at what's behind that, it's multifaceted. So, you sometimes see as an excuse, well, it's because we're doing more testing. Well, that's part of it. It is indeed part of it. We are doing a lot more testing than we were doing a month or 2 months ago. Our governor and the health department have been very proactive and very aggressive about wanting to push out testing. And they're doing a lot more testing in the western part of the state now. And you can see, so as just an example, we had set a goal of a month ago of really trying to do about 1,000 tests a day in Cass County. We were trying to ramp up to that. Well, we did 2,500 tests yesterday in Cass County. So we're doing, and when you look more and you test more, you do find more. That said, I think there is a true uptick. There is a true change that's happening in addition to just the extra testing. The percent of those tests that are positive is also going up. You know, we had hit a low on that. You know, finally in Cass County, we were dropping to kind of be just about comparable with the rest of the state. And you kind of looked at like about late June, a little over 2 weeks ago, we were at about 1.3% of our tests positive in Cass County, about 0.9% in the rest of the state. That's gone up now again to almost double, about 1.8 for the state, about 2.5 for Cass County. That's almost doubled the percent of the tests that are positive. It's not anywhere close to where we were at our worst, where we had like almost 10% of our tests positive in Cass County back in late April, early May. But it's gone up, and I think there's a number of reasons for that, which we can discuss further if you want. But I'll kind of stop there.
Please. I would love to hear why you think that there is an uptick. There was a question that came in that a listener wanted us to ask you, and I think that this kind of perfectly fits it. Is that what role does the positivity rate play in determining a community's transmission level, and what should or should not be opened? And maybe that's part of the question as to why it's going up.
Yeah. I don't think you can just look at that alone. I think you have to look at several different things, because not only does, the number of tests you do, but where you do tests and how you do tests can make those numbers fluctuate. And I'll just give you an example here. One of the recent pushes has been for us to go out and, strongly encourage people who are contacts of a COVID case, not just to quarantine, but to come in and get tested at day 7 to somewhere between day 7 and 10. We're doing a lot more of that. Well, that's a much higher likelihood group to find positives in, so your percent positivity goes up. So it's an important number. I would say there's no magic number there. Like when we hit this, you need to move to this phase or that phase. I know a lot of people kind of look at when you're getting above 5% or above 10% that that's maybe a little warning sign. And if you look like in the Sun Belt states where they're really blasting off, I mean, they're running at 20, 23, 24% positive. I think you have to look at a number of different things. You have to look at how many tests you're doing. You look at the percent positivity. One of the things that I pay a lot of attention to is new admissions to the hospital. That's a very objective measure. It doesn't change based on how much testing you're doing or not. It's just how many people are getting sick from it. And, you know, hospitalizations lag maybe by about a week to maybe two at the most from when you start seeing an uptick in cases. We're not really seeing an uptick in hospitalizations yet. And so I take a little bit of encouragement from that. Not even a little. I take a lot of encouragement from that. So that's one I watch very, very carefully. If we start seeing that pick up here in the next week or so, I think we can take a little more caution that these numbers that we're seeing are real.
Dr. Carson, historically, have we ever seen something where we've had as much as, and I don't have a better word for this, but burnout from people wanting to hear about COVID-19, I think that that's something that's pretty common with us is the stop talking about it. And we know we get it, but that burnout feeling in other health crises, is there anything that we've learned that we can apply here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I frankly don't think there's anything comparable that I've ever been through to this. The former state epidemiologist from Minnesota, has said, we're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon. This isn't like, a little week-long problem. This is the COVID winter. I mean, we're going to be in this for a while. So we have to figure out how to endure this and live with it for a while, and probably quite a long while. And all my family, all my friends, we all want to be back to normal. We want to go back to normal, but I think we have to think ahead. So when our kids or our grandkids, are asking, and hopefully we're still around, that, boy, you lived through that pandemic, what did you do? What was it like? How did you respond? They're going to be writing books about this, and they're going to be teaching classes on this, and they're going to be making documentaries about this. And I think we want to think about, where were you? How did you respond? What did you do? And I don't think it's a healthy response to say, I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to live my life the way I want. We need to sort of step up, recognizing that we've got to face this adversity for a while, and how are we going to manage it?
Someone texted in and said, the numbers seem misleading to me, though. How many of the new tests and not a retest? Doesn't that misconstrue the percentage to be lower? I think, to this person's point, you can answer this too, but that is why I look at, when I see the numbers every day, that is why I look at the number of hospitalizations and the active cases.
Yep.
Because, sure, percentages can be construed because of the number of tests and retests, but if you look at those active cases, we are at, as of yesterday, we had 720 active cases. I don't know what it is as of today. At our peak in late May, we had 660 cases. So that's sort of the number we should be paying attention to, correct?
Correct. You're exactly right. But I do want to answer that caller's point, because I think some people kind of are you trying to fool us? Are you trying, what are you doing manipulating these numbers? Look, the reason there are all these retests is because one of our big strategies try and control this epidemic was to try and control it in the place where people are the most vulnerable, which is our nursing homes and our assisted living facilities. And so we've been very aggressive about testing those residents and testing those staff workers in those facilities on a weekly basis. And that has really helped. That has really helped us bring what was, a pandemic tearing through our nursing home, tragically. That's really improved those, to where we had very few cases in the recent past in any facility. But the listener should recognize, when you're testing a bunch of young, otherwise healthy healthcare workers in the facilities, hundreds and hundreds of these, those people are reflective of the population. Those people are reflective of what's going on in the community. So it's still very useful information. And to be fair, the state and the governor and we reported out both ways. Here's how many are unique tests and how many are unique positives, and here's how many are retests and here's how many are repositive. But if you want to know the objective measures, it's just what you said. Look at the number of active cases, look at the number of hospitalizations. That gets away from who are we testing, when and how and where and why, and to what's really happening with the disease in the community.
Let's stay on this point of nursing homes and elderly patients. Have there been instances of asymptomatic elderly people?
Yes, Yeah. In fact, there's been now several studies on that that have kind of followed it in the elderly, and it's less than the younger population. About one study that followed this in the state of Washington found about 20-25% of people who were exposed enough ultimately became infected had no symptoms at all. But that runs more like in the neighborhood of 40-50% in younger population.
And can you speak for a moment about, of course, the big news today or the headlines that I've seen today? The latest news is that there was a study about the immunity to COVID-19 may not last more than a couple of months. So people who we previously thought if they had it, they had the antibodies, they would be immune to it. But now we're finding that that's not the case.
Yeah, I hate when the headlines sort of try and, understand and pick up on like one scientific report. Science works by doing lots of studies and repeating it and challenging the notion. So, there was one study that looked at antibody levels with one antibody test. We've got about 15 different antibody tests. Some are better than others, and I'm not sure which one was the one they chose. And it showed at about 8 weeks out, asymptomatic people did not have antibodies in about 40% of the time, which got everybody real concerned. But people need to understand antibodies are only one aspect of our immune system. We have several different fragments of our immune system that fight pathogens. And we don't know which is the most important. It might not be antibody levels. It might be something we call T cells. And we're still trying to figure that out and work that out. As yet, I have not seen any credible report of someone becoming reinfected with this. And I look very hard for that. And so we've been in it, in some parts of the world in Asia, 6-7 months now, and no credible reports of reinfection gives me some encouragement that we have some degree of protective immunity. We don't know for how long, but I wouldn't jump on that just yet.
Sure.
Dr. Carson, your comments made me think of a conversation I've had many times inside of the KFGO studio, which is this. When we first were thrust into the COVID-19 pandemic, we were thinking about a shorter span, and there's nothing that we can do, in hindsight's 2020, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now that we know that we're probably going to be buying new wall calendars before anything gets back to quote unquote normal, are there things that people should be doing to improve their health in general leading up to this? For example, obviously, if you're a smoker, quitting smoking is just naturally healthy for you. But should people be focusing on a better diet right now just on the chance that they may become COVID positive at some point?
Yeah, I want to address that question in two ways. So one, I'll always answer yes, get yourself more healthy. But there are direct applicability to this. So we know that obesity is a significant risk factor for worse outcomes with COVID. We know that diabetes that's poorly controlled is a worse outcome. So, getting your diabetes under good control, bringing your weight down. There's some crazy studies that were done a long time ago. We can't kind of do these now where they, experimentally infected like medical students with, rhinovirus, a cold virus, and then, challenged them with sleep deprivation. And you're much more susceptible to getting a virus that can establish an infection if you're sleep deprived. So, getting good sleep, eating right, losing weight, getting good exercise, for sure, are all going to be helpful things. But here's the thing that I would really hammer on this about is that, the United States right now it leads the world in these cases, far as outstripping almost anywhere else. We're one of only a couple countries in the Northern Hemisphere where we're still on the increase. And we've got to really set our minds to the common good and doing what we can for each other, In hopes of like avoiding the hard things that we all want to avoid. We don't want businesses to close. We don't want schools to close. We don't want to, have to live in isolation. But can we do those simpler measures, which is trying to keep your distance? We're having clusters of outbreaks now that are following 4th of July parties, weddings, funerals, different parties, different events, different family gatherings. And everybody's kind of getting relaxed about this. They want to get back to normal. And sure enough, we get, clusters of outbreaks. Just keep your distance a little bit from each other. Do as much of the activities that you can outside, which is much, much safer. UV light from the sun kills the virus very quickly. Open air disperses respiratory droplets very efficiently. And then when we are indoors, masking is not a political issue. It's not a, you know, some stamp of my individual liberty. It's just a charitable act towards the common good. It says, I know that I may be asymptomatically carrying this virus, that I could be infected and I have a 40 to 50% chance of having no symptoms. I'll put on this mask and block my respiratory droplets from going out in the air, in the grocery store, in my church, or in my gathering where I am gathering with people indoors, which, by the way, indoors is by far the most efficient way for this to transmit, indoors together with other people over time. Let's do these simple measures in the hopes that we don't have to do anything more restrictive.
Dr. Carson, thank you so much. No one says it better than you. We really appreciate it. I'll echo the sentiment of someone, a listener who just texted in and said, keep up the great work, Dr. Carson, the task force, the governor's office, and KFGO. So thank you for your great work. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Glad to be with you. Stay well.